No Athletics fan will ever forget that magical summer's night in Berlin when Jakob Ingebrigtsen came of age.
It's phenomenal 17-year-old Jakob Ingebrigtsen, the whole clutch of medals to his credit already.
It was August 2018, the European Athletics Championships. Every seat in the Olympic Stadium had been sold. We'd all heard the rumours about this teenage kid with the floppy fringe and the big kick from Norway who could run sub-3:32. But the question everyone was asking was, could he deliver on Europe's greatest stage? On that Friday night, it was like stepping back in time to the 1980s when 1500 metre running was the king of the track and track and field was the king of all sports. A packed stadium, a rip-roaring crowd, the entire population of Norway huddled around TV screens as their darling, a 17-year-old from Sandnes, attempted to become the youngest track champion in European Championship history. In the 80s, it was the British trio of Coe, Ovett and Cram fighting for gold. Three decades on, the world was watching to see if the three Ingebrigtsen brothers could take gold, silver and bronze.
Off they go in the final of the 1500 metres in the Berlin European Championships of 2018.
And interesting to see all three Ingebrigtsen brothers staying right at the back, out of any trouble, really working together there.
After playing safe at the back in the early stages, it wasn't long before the three Ingebrigtsens made their move.
Jakob, the 17-year-old, though, coming past. He leads the defending champion, Philip.
It almost looked like they're looking out for each other there, Jakob looking over, and now we have three Ingebrigtsens in the lead.
But as they entered the last lap with the eyes of the world falling upon him, did Jakob have the temperament to match his talent?
And this is the youngster, Jakob, who leads at the bell in 2:44.49.
As they reached the final bend, the stadium was on its feet and Jakob started to pull clear. The impossible dream was happening.
The charge round the final bend now, and it's the youngster, the 17-year-old, Jakob Ingebrigtsen. Whiteman is finishing strongly, but Jakob Ingebrigtsen, this sensational 17-year-old talent, they're gaining on him. Can they get there in the end? Wow, Jakob Ingebrigtsen just wins it.
History had been made in the same home straight where Jesse Owens performed miracles and where Usain Bolt smashed the 100-metre world record. It was a real-life fairy tale for Jakob, and he wasn't finished there either. With his coach and father Jette watching on from the stands, Jakob went for the double in the 5,000 metres the following night. And guess what? He did it again.
It's going to be Jakob Ingebrigtsen coming through for a stunning and memorable double. Jakob Ingebrigtsen adds to his 1500-metre title.
And now for the Olympics. From European Athletics, this is Track and Field. I'm Peter Sanderson, your guide throughout this series as we hear the inside stories from some of Europe's leading athletes as they brace themselves for the biggest challenge of their lives, the Olympic Games. This is chapter 3 of the Track and Field story. And this time, we did what nobody managed in Berlin. We catch up with Jakob Ingebrigtsen, the young Norwegian who's taken European middle distance running to whole new levels. There isn't a more exciting prospect on the track right now, and you know you're onto something when the Kenyans are starting to talk about you. At 20, he's already faster than Coe, Ovett and Cram, and he has Elger Rouge's 3:26 world record in his sights. But what did he make of that moment in Berlin when his life changed overnight?
It was all about getting first to the finish line. And usually before competitions, I'm really nervous. So I remember that I was really nervous, but also confident going into the race, racing 3:31 in Monaco just a couple of weeks before. So obviously I was really confident, which I feel like I'm I'm usually confident going into races. So I believe that I could win, and I knew that I had a good shot of winning. But I knew that it was the stadium was packed, and I knew everyone was watching. Basically in the whole of Europe, not only Norway. So it was time to really perform at my best, and I was really well prepared as well. So I felt like I had a good shot of doing a really good race. There's a lot of things that can happen in a 1500 meter final, and if you're going to win, you need to be prepared for every type of scenario. So it's not like you have time to think. It's just that you need to, if something happens, you need to be able to respond in less than a second. And you're not able to think, okay, now he's going up front, I need to be with him. And actually, before that race, we knew that we were three brothers. So we decided to take an advantage of that, knowing that Philip was probably the favorite. So we decided to let me go up front with two laps to go, step up the pace a little bit, and then with one lap to go, Philip was supposed to go in front and go all out last lap. And I was just trying to keep up. And obviously that didn't happen, because he struggled with his chest, with the fall in the heats. But I didn't know that, so I was expecting him to go past, but he didn't. And that's what caused the confusion going into the home straight.
He may have looked calm and in control, but this was still his first senior final in the 1500 metres, and Jakob confesses to almost fluffing his lines, forgetting which lap he was running.
It's that particular race is really strange. That it's not like that's not a race that I enjoy watching over again, because I felt like I did a big mistake going into the home straight. But that's many reasons for that. the number on the lap recorder said one, so, and Philip didn't pass me going into the last lap, so. And I was also running, much faster than everyone else. So it was a lot of strange things going through my mind going into the home straight. But if I knew that I was going towards the finish line, I would have kept a much higher pace the whole home straight and won by much more than I actually did. That was weird, because I didn't feel like I was running that fast, but still I got 2-3 meters to the other guys going out of the last turn, but that's just, I guess, how good I was. And of course you don't know for sure how good you are before you're actually racing. Sometimes you can have a bad day and you're not sure how your shape is that exact race, but I was really, really good. And I just wish that I was sprinting the last 100 meters. I don't know how to explain it, but it was unexpected even for me. I said going into the race and championship that I was going to win, but it's a whole different feeling actually winning, getting over the finish line first, compared to believing you're going to win or saying you're going to win. So that was actually unbelievable and a really, really strange feeling. But after a couple of minutes, I understood that I actually won the 800, which was my goal for my career, basically. So I was really, really happy.
Now aged 20, as he targets the delayed Olympic Games in Tokyo, the Norwegian is in the form of his life. Having broken the European 1500 meter record in Monaco this year, he is one of only two men to run a sub-3:30 1500, a sub-7:30 3000, and a sub-12:50 5000 meters. The other, Well, that's Kenyan legend Daniel Komen, so Jakob is in very good company. But where did it all begin for this young Norwegian? Has he always been so devastating when he sets foot on the track?
I don't remember my first race, but because I did, I started racing basically when I started running or could walk. So I remember a few, but I'm not sure which one was the first one. But there was a lot of local races, and I remember that I took every race really seriously. And when I was like 3 or 4 years old, the first group was like 5 to 6 in first grade of school. So it was all about beating the older boys. That's weird to say, but I've always done that. It's like, yeah, it's weird, but when I raced against my, when I was 6 and I raced against 6 years old or 8 or 10, and I was the same age, I always won with like 200 meters and a 600 meter. It's weird to say, but that's how it was. So I've always been used to winning. And then I started racing against older guys, and then it was, yeah, all about beating them, but I was not good enough, and then it was just get home working and then eventually beating them as well. I think that's where the question about talent comes in, because there was always the excuse that I was born with that talent, but the reality was that I was training really hard and trying to keep up with the rest of the family in training.
In elite sport, the belief is that behind every great champion is an even greater coach or even better parents. Some find themselves in the fortunate position of having both. And his father, Yet, Jakob gets 2 for the price of 1. It always helps when your father is obsessed with winning and that he's already coached your older brothers to be champions, as he did with Henrik and Philip. Ingebrigtsen Sr. has done what feels impossible to most parents. He hasn't just helped shape the career of one of the athletes in his family, but 3 of them. So you'd kind of expect him to be a running freak, but according to Jakob, he's absolutely not.
No, I think that's a bit misunderstood, because a father, he's really not passionate about sports. He's done a little bit of running and a little bit of cycling and some competitions on like a hobby level, but I think it's more like our mentality from or basically in our family that everything is a competition and it's important to win. And therefore, Henrik and our oldest brother, Christopher, started doing sports. So it's more like a coincidence that it ended in cross-country skiing and later in running. So it didn't start with a passion for running. It's more like because of the importance of winning and that it's not snow in the west coast of Norway, we started running.
The media debate rumbles on whether Jakob's talent is a gift from nature or from Norwegian nurture. The question is whether Jakob believes his success has come from raw talent, or does he see the secret recipe being his father's magical training regime, which began when Jakob was knee-high to a grasshopper?
I don't think it's possible to do anything better than I've done. I've done many of the right things, basically since I was born. So I don't think it's not easy to improve like the mileage that I've done from an early age. I would say it's almost 100% in our perspective to reach my full potential. So I wouldn't say what we know now compared to 10 years ago. I don't think that's an advantage for other siblings coming up. When Henrik and Philip did about 120 miles a week, I did a similar training when I was really young, but I did like 1 session a day while they were doing 2 sessions a day. So I had the same structure and same philosophy. And when they did like 3 minutes. I did, let's say, 2 minutes in similar intensity. So it was, and then it was, it, and then it's easy to like, to increase the mileage and increase the pace because it's, you're always in the same pattern. And then you can just increase with, let's say, 4 reps in interval session or 10 minutes in easy runs. So that's basically what I did from I was really young. I basically done the same thing my whole life, but just increased the mileage, increased the pace, and increased the amount of sessions every week. I think for us, the most important thing has been quality in each session, and we haven't really cared about all of the minor things like nutrition or like stretching and all of those things. That's like the last things to consider doing. So I basically did mileage when I was young and competed a lot because that's the most important thing. It's not important to run 10 minutes and do 40 minutes stretching a day or some other exercises or some other things. I just went out, ran easy runs or competed in road races or just everything that I could on the track. And or interval sessions. That was the things that I did. So when it was competitions in Norway, I was competing in every single event and usually won most of them. So I did 60 meter, 600 meter, jumping, throwing most of it. And then it was just, that's a pretty good session for a little kid. So then, but then it's also like the amount of exercise compared to the other smaller things. I did a little bit of cross-country skiing, but I didn't have that good of a technique. So I usually just took off my skis and started running most of the time. But at that point, Henrik was a professional skier. So then I was doing the same thing with skiing that I did in running, that I just hung around our father and Henrik and Philip while they were training and did like a similar session, but just lower volume and intensity.
But what is it that drives Jakob to win?
It's definitely not passion. I'll say I'm passionate about winning. So it's not, and then because I started running so early, that's why I'm so you could say good in running, because Henrik and Philip, they were running a lot when I was really young. So I started running from a really young age, and therefore I have I had an advantage compared to kids on my age, which I was competing against. So it's, I think with the right mentality and training from an early age, I think I could have been a skier or a cyclist or anything in like endurance sports. But Henrik and Philip, they started running, and therefore I guess I started too, and it was all about beating them. Yeah, so it's more like the winning is the motivation. It's not the running, so that's more like coincidence.
And with Tokyo just around the corner, does Jakob believe that he can win Olympic gold?
My goals going into next year is to win as much as possible. And obviously my goal for each race is to win. But of course I would like to compete in a major championship, even if it's European championship or Olympics or world championship. I feel like in this year, I've run really fast, but I still feel like it's missing a championship. So it's a bit strange looking back to on the 2020 season. But of course, there's like two goals going into a season. That's to run fast and to do well in that championship. So I feel like I need a championship in the nearest future, and hopefully to get the gold medal. Obviously, that was my main goal started running professionally was to win the Olympic gold in the 1500 in Tokyo. Now, and last couple of years or last 15 years, it's all been about running. So of course my dreams for my life at the moment is to be as good of a runner as I can be, to win as much as possible and to run as fast as possible. But of course after that, I want a normal life with a wife, kids and a normal job, and not that much publicity, you could say. For me, it's always been a camera nearby, so I feel like it's always been a part of the job or a part of doing running professionally. So it's more like I don't feel like it's my life. I feel like it's something that comes with running. But of course, if I could choose, I would have won Olympic gold, world record in the 1500, and no fame.
Next time on Track and Field with Malika Mihambo.
At the day of the final, there were 60,000 people in the stadium, and it was like every move that I made, every time I did anything, it felt like someone is watching me.
You've been listening to Track and Field, a Highway 61 production from European Athletics. This episode was presented by myself, Peter Sanderson. Gary Hayes and I wrote the series together, while Gary is also our producer alongside Karina Vigo. Our consultant producers for this series are Kerry Levy, Nick Lapworth and Jackie Ankerlin. Sound mixing is by Taylor Hayes, who also composed the Track and Field music. The podcast artwork and social content is produced by Matt Alabaster. Our thanks go to Christian Mills, Rob Faulkner, and everyone else involved at European Athletics for helping make this series a reality. If you'd like to know more about athletics, visit the website european-athletics.com. Please rate and review Track and Field wherever you listen, as it helps make the series more visible. And if you've enjoyed this episode, visit highway61.media for more podcasts just like this one. That's HWY61.media. Or you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at HWY61_podcasts. This has been another Highway 61 production.